In the last couple of minutes, as we go on through this, if we might look at the verses in chapter 26, where this one who now reveals himself to Saul tells him the purpose. And as we look at the purpose, we'll find that it reflects this reality. In fact, Ananias's witness to Paul also tells him about the purpose for which he had this encounter. And this is unique to Paul, and Bunny was making the distinction. I think that's very important, is that this is unique to Paul. But at the same time, the lesson that I think we want to learn is how Paul was strategic in God's plan in order to lay out for us what really matters, and that is this knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He says in chapter 26, it's interesting to see Paul's, as he recounts this, his transformation, his conversion, it's less and less about himself. In this chapter, he doesn't say, what will you have me to do? Already, over his history, over the time, after he had gone into Arabia, he had had all of this encounter, and he gets to this point where he's relating his testimony again. It's not about him. It was less and less about him. In chapter 22, we have the account. He says, I said, what would you have me to do, Lord? But in 26, there's nothing about him. And the Lord says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he says, rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee a minister, a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto you, setting you apart from the people and from the nations unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. And so it lays out his purpose, and what is it? It's everything connected with Christ. And we've been saying it, and not only with Christ, but that there is an inheritance with the saints who have their faith in Christ. That there is this relationship now between Christ, and Paul received great revelation, right? I received this from the Lord. And he tells us what he received in the epistles. And then, so Paul would be drawn into this relationship with the Lord for a specific purpose. And now he tells us that Paul's ministry is to go out and to let people know and to let us know that if you really want to understand what living is, you really want to understand purpose and destiny and all of these realities, it's really bound up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
See, if we go back to the beginning of chapter 9, we see Saul desiring letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them down unto Jerusalem. Well, the reason why the Lord had this encounter with Saul hated him so much. Who better to make him a leader for the Lord? That's why he was made blind, because he may have been able to see, but he was blind from the very beginning because he had such hatred for the Lord, for the people. He was a follower of the people. He was doing what the people wanted, not what the Lord wanted. So the Lord made him actually blind for 3 days so he could see clearly what his path would be.
See, here we have a man exceedingly jealous of the traditions of his fathers. In Philippians chapter 3, he speaks of that how he counted himself above his equals, and that Saul was seeking righteousness after the law. Here was a man, it was never ever displayed this zeal to be blameless in the law, to be found in the righteousness which is according to the law. But when he finds Christianity in a great contrast, he was unable to take this, accept. And so we see him in verse 2, he found and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. This way, Christianity in those days was referred as the way. In John chapter 14, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, how would we know the way? Lord Jesus in response said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Christianity is, in one word, Christ. It is relationship with God, the Father, and the Son. As our brother has already remarked at the beginning of this meeting, that we have the man Christ Jesus in the glory of God, at the right hand of God seated. And we have the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, come down. Christianity is founded on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the basis and the foundation of all our blessings, all our spiritual, eternal blessings in Christ. In Romans, briefly, if I refer to Romans chapter 3, the same apostle declaring this, writing to Romans, speaks of his righteousness according to the law, the righteousness by faith in Christ. He says, chapter 3, verse 20, he says at the end of verse 19, all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. So this is Christianity. All have sinned and come short for the glory of God. And there is no difference between Jew or Greek. And with a law, one cannot be justified before God. But Christ is the answer. It is faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ now is the object of faith. In the Old Testament, it's believe in God. But when we come to the New Testament, this believe in God, he says, believe also in me. In chapter 14, John. So he sets himself as is the object of faith for believers. And now we're looking unto Jesus. In putting our faith in the blood of Jesus, on the name of Jesus, we are saved. This is the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. Now, in this, going back to Acts chapter 9, when he asked the Lord, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And then afterwards we see there was commission was given to him, what he was going to do. But before that, there is another inquiry here, very solemn thing we must also consider. Not only he asks, "Who art thou, Lord?" But when the Lord Jesus reveals himself from heaven, but there is another inquiry here. In verse 6, he says, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" See, the believers, is not only we come to Christ, come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not enough just to go on with our own ways. But the next thing that must follow is we all must humbly ask the Lord, "What wilt thou have me to do? What is the purpose of my life? What is the goal and the business and the duty of my life?" And that's what Paul is asking here. "What wilt thou have me to do?" This is the first thing. After he comes to know the Lord Jesus, the first question is this. He wanted to know the purpose of his life. And then was given to him, God, the Lord Jesus reveals it.